This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. The Mark Taper Forum recently announced that it is halting its current season. Among the reasons given, well, the ongoing impact of the pandemic, so low ticket sales, and also dwindling corporate donations. Bottom line, COVID really exacerbated an economic crisis for the Center Theater Group, which operates the Mark Taper Forum, and the Amundsen and the Kirk Douglas Theaters. Los Angeles theaters are not alone in their struggle to stay afloat. The Public Theater in New York just laid off nearly 20% of its staff. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival announced that without a multi-million dollar cash infusion, its season would not go on. And this is happening at regional theaters across the country. We're going to talk about this now with two guests. Peter Marks is chief theater critic for The Washington Post, and he recently wrote about this. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Madeline.
And Susan Loewenberg is here. She's producing director for LA Theater Works, which is the country's leading producer of audio plays. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Madeline.
All right. Well, let's begin with your reaction to this announcement by the Mark Taper Forum. I'll begin with you, Susan. What was your reaction when you heard they were canceling their season?
Well, it was startling. It certainly never has happened before. The Taper did send out an explanation of why they were closing, but it was a blow.
And Peter?
Well, yeah, I felt the same way. It really brought home for me the depth of the problem. You know, theater companies do not, by any stretch of the imagination, casually cancel or pause their programming. It's kind of anathema, and especially since we worry about the loyalty of audiences and the importance of continuing the ties, the connections between the community and the theater. When a company ends or pauses its programming, there's a real fear of attrition and people not coming back.
Right, which is, I guess, then a chicken and egg situation. If you don't have audiences coming, you're not getting the ticket sales, so you stop programming and then you signal to the community, don't bother coming back, whoever's interested in returning.
Yeah, I'm sure Susan can talk to this. The loyalty factor is very high. And also, when one of the largest theater companies in America, Center Theater Group, does this kind of drastic action, it reflects how deeply this problem is seeping into the framework of American theater. It's happening on the East Coast as well. The Public Theater in New York, another venerated and venerable theater, recently canceled its Under the Radar program, one of its hallmarks for new work, international plays, and they had the same problem of finances and declining donations. It really is entering epidemic proportions.
Susan, what is the situation specifically in Los Angeles, before we broaden it out? Locally in Los Angeles, what happens when the big kahuna, if you will, the Center Theater Group, does this? How does that ripple out to other local theaters?
Well, there are about 200 theaters in Los Angeles, ranging from 30 seats to over 3,000 seats. There are only about 19 theaters with budgets of over a million, however. So we're mostly about smaller theaters. And so our flagship theater, certainly for straight plays, was always the Mark Taper Forum. You know, they have a new artistic director. Sanal Desai is coming in. He's formerly was running a very small theater in Los Angeles, about 90 seats, and he's been named the new artistic director. So I would say that people are apprehensive. However, theaters have since reopened. You know, everybody is very cautious. They're very nervous about attracting audiences. I would say theater revenues are down at least 50% overall in the theater here in LA.
To what do you attribute that?
I think they're being extremely, extremely cautious, and they only want to go to hit shows that have a track record. They're not being as adventurous as they used to be. People are just not willing to take that chance. They want something that's proven. That's a problem.
But is that pandemic related? Like, why is that happening now?
First of all, people have gotten out of the habit of going to the theater. That's number one. And to come back to the theater, you know, for some people, it's a real is a really courageous act. What I find very interesting is, you know, LA Theater Works, you know, we are not a straight theater, as you know. We record plays in front of the audience normally 7 times a year, for example. When we finally reopened this spring, we were very cautious. We just did 2 productions. What is very interesting is that we also do a film series, which is the National Theater Live Films. We had many sold out houses, and overall it was 80% capacity. So people were willing to come back to see National Theater.
But these are films.
These are films of plays.
So people are willing to go to see movies. And Peter, people are willing in Los Angeles to go to the Disney Concert Hall and sure. see live music, or the Hollywood Bowl, or anywhere else to see live music. Why aren't people willing to go back and see something in a theater?
Well, I don't think it's willing is the question, Madeline. You know, this is a historic decline. This happened before the pandemic, this kind of this attrition that was happening. And the pandemic just really accelerated the problem. We have a confluence of problems. One of them is an aging audience. One of them is a theater world that had not particularly responded to the changing world in which we all lived. And I think that they sort of lost, many people lost the thread of what interested theater goers over that time, because people had other pursuits. I think also that people got very comfortable with streaming events on TV. I don't mean plays, I mean streaming series on Netflix and Hulu and Apple Plus that replaced the sustenance of theater for some people. And you found that you didn't need to go as quite as often to theater to get that kind of reward, that artistic reward that theater supplies. So it's a real confluence of things that's happened. And I think it's going to be very hard to recover from that for many organizations.
And what we're talking about are regional theaters, so not Broadway. And so is Broadway a different beast?
Well, it's commercial theater versus nonprofit theater, which is a different beast. But commercially, Broadway has had the same sluggish return. There's about a 30% dip in audiences over the period of the pandemic. But there's a different base of ticket buyer for Broadway. It's a tourist base. So people coming to New York City, as the tourist industry rebounds, and it has significantly in New York, you get the return of people wanting entertainment at night, and therefore they go to commercial Broadway shows. So it's a different baseline. In places like LA and Washington and even Chicago, it's community-based. It's people mm-hmm. who are there all the time. Their theaters are their friends and their neighbors, and they think of it that way. And somehow, you know, for a variety of reasons, we're still trying to obviously sample what is going on. Those people have loosened their bonds to their local theaters.
Interesting.
Not all, but yeah. Many.
Right. And so what are the most alarming warning signs? We mentioned the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, for example. Mm-hmm. Could that go completely dark? I mean, that is a venerable institution.
Yeah, the warning signs are terrifying in terms of the companies that are really severely affected. And what we're going to be looking to see is if, for example, traditionally theaters, nonprofit theaters have relied, and Susan can talk to this, on donations, on foundation support, on individual donors who believe in these organizations. And that's off. That's fallen like about 40%. Some of that has to do, no doubt, with the programming and what people see as things they want to see and are not particularly interested in seeing. So there's got to be, I think, some navel gazing going on right now, trying to figure out, you know, what, as Susan said, people want hits. They want things that are guaranteed successes. That's not easy to predict or to mm-hmm. formulate.
Right. Susan, what are you seeing? People are not interested in seeing new original work anymore. They want to, or if they want to see new original work, they want it to be, you know, have the stamp of Broadway's approval first.
Oh, people are very reluctant, I would say, relatively reluctant to see new work. They want to see things that are tried and true. And by the way, I would say revenues overall in LA, and Peter probably can speak to this nationally, are down about 50% from pre-pandemic levels. Meanwhile, expenses have gone, in California, have gone up. There's a new labor law that has made it very expensive for the smaller theaters, and expenses are up by about a third for theaters. So it's a double whammy.
This is the law that says that you have to pay minimum wage at least at these small theaters, right? That, yeah.
Yes, that's another problem. It's hard if we're going to be able to recover from this, as Peter said. If we do, it's probably 3 to 5 years out.
In the meantime, can these theaters hang on that long?
Well, I think some of them will, and I think some of them will go out of business. As I said, we've got about 200 theaters here in Los Angeles. The question is, a year from now, how many will we have?
Do you think the Mark Taper will come back?
Yes, I think the Mark Taper will come back. They've got, as I said, they've got a wonderful new young artistic director. I think people will support the Taper coming back. I mean, it is our, you know, it's always been our sort of, it was our first serious large theater company in LA, thanks to Gordon Davidson. And I do believe they will come roaring back eventually.
Peter, what about this idea that content is king, right? I mean, TV was written off for a while until the golden age of television came with The Sopranos and The Wire and Mad Men and all that. Is that something that local and regional theater can look to, that maybe they're just not putting on plays that people want to see from an interesting perspective, not just a tried and true perspective? Like, everyone will always go to see Into the Woods, but people would come to see, I think, a play that is new and interesting if it's well done and well written.
I think that's absolutely true. Listen, I wouldn't be in this business for as long as I have if I didn't believe that there was going to be more great theater made in this country by, you know, new writers, by writers coming up now that we don't even know about. And it may just be that the path is going to be, I don't know, I can't foresee, I can't even predict what the heck is going to be like in 5 years. But I've got to believe that vigorous companies that are tuned into their community, that are speaking to their audiences, that are communicating in different ways, that are telling their audiences what they're up to and what they're trying to do, the more they can do that kind of outreach through social media, through emails, through whatever ways they are doing that, those are the companies that are going to rebound from this. It's not like theater is going to go out of business. It'll just be a different model. It may be producing at a cheaper rate. It may be reductions in staff, unfortunately, for a lot of theaters. But there will be theater. It's just a matter of, I think, almost a granular sense of what issues and things spark the imaginations of people in a city like Los Angeles.
Peter Marks is chief theater critic for The Washington Post. Susan Loewenberg, producing director for LA Theater Works. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, the 25-year journey to publish the book on Robert Oppenheimer. That's the basis for the new movie. We'll talk with one of the authors next on Press Play.